Thank you. Please sit down. Good morning to you all. I'd like to focus on one little verse this morning, very important verse. Verse 6 of chapter 4. Verse 6. I'm going to read it again and then we're going to pray. We, that is the apostles, we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. How do we recognize true from false religiosity? Well, whoever is from God listens to the apostolic message. Whoever does not listen is not from God. It's very straightforward, but don't be fooled by simplicity. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name this morning, I pray, Lord, your spirit will rain upon us and show through that which is known as the foolishness of preaching, the power of God. For Christ's sake, amen. Whenever the gospel is preached, you will always find two types of people in the congregation: believers and non-believers. Those who hear the message and accept it, and those who do not hear it, for some reason or other, it will go over their heads. The gospel will always provoke either belief or unbelief. And it has nothing to do with how talented the preacher may be. Who do you think the greatest preacher of all time was? Jesus. Don't say Spurgeon. Jesus. Come on. If anyone could preach, it must have been the Son of God. And whenever he preached, he found some, usually in the minority, who believed him, and many who did not believe his message. I could put it this way. The gospel is the great divider of the human race. And our text tells us here, this is how we recognize the spirit of God and the spirit of falsehood. When it comes to the gospel message, there will always be two categories of hearer: those who hear and those who do not hear. Those who will accept what is preached and those who will not. Now you might be thinking, well, that's pretty obvious. Why are you telling us something that's so obvious we didn't even need to be told? Well, hear me out now. What John is telling us here is this. The gospel has special power. The gospel has power, listen, to separate the sheep from the goats, saints from sinners, believers from unbelievers. Look at the text. Whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Simple dichotomy. And it's very simple. Wherever the gospel is faithfully preached, and by that, what I mean is the cross, sin, sacrifice, salvation, heaven, hell, all of that stuff, wherever it is preached, the result of the preaching will inevitably be believers and non-believers, hearers and those who do not hear. And this is the innate power of the gospel. The gospel separates sheep from goats. And this is what John is telling us here. Listen, by this, by hearing the gospel or not hearing it, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Do you know what? We don't have to wait till judgment day to recognize a distinction between sheep and goats. You know, on that day, Christ is going to make a very visible separation on his left and on his right. But the distinction between believers and unbelievers can be known even today. Just preach the gospel, and you will know where each individual stands. We read, those who know God will listen. Those who do not know God will not listen to the apostolic message. You see, the apostolic message of Jesus, the gospel, is the great litmus test of salvation. The gospel is and has discriminating power built into it. Sheep and goat are manifested whenever the gospel is preached. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Jesus put it this way. He said, "My sheep hear my voice," John chapter 10. And then he said to the unbelieving Pharisees, "You are not able to hear me because you are not my sheep." He said that in the context of what he just said. You see, faith comes by hearing. Saving faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema Christu, the spoken message of Christ. And it's not logos there, it's rhema, which means it's the communicated gospel. Faith comes by hearing the gospel. And conversely, being unable to hear the gospel will indicate you are without faith. Do you this morning hear the gospel preached? It's a crucial question. If you are one of Christ's sheep, according to the words of Christ himself, you will hear the shepherd's call. What is the shepherd's call? The call of the shepherd is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. Those who are not the sheep of God will not hear the gospel. They will not recognize the message that the apostles have brought. Now, so far so good. You may say, well, I get everything you've said, and I pretty much knew that already. Why have you spent 15 minutes so far telling us that? Here's my challenge. There are many people in church leadership nowadays, and I have nothing to lose by telling you I'm burdened with this and I want to warn you about it. They realize that the gospel is never going to appeal to everybody. In fact, let's face it, the gospel can be quite offensive, can't it? The gospel can make people feel sinful, wretched, uncomfortable. All this talk about sin and wrath and punishment and blood sacrifice and surrender, let's face it, it's not very cool in this day and age, is it? It's the sort of thing that puts people up on their hackles and offends. And there are people out there nowadays, and you've just got to read the Christian magazines and journals, who are saying it's time for us to amend the Christian gospel, to update it, to tweak it, to kind of make it less offensive, to kind of make it more politically correct, to make it appealing and attractive to 21st century consumers. And they say, let's make the gospel more appealing, less offensive, more attractive, because we want everybody to accept the gospel. So if we just make it more sort of sellable, and we make it nice, we take out those horrible jaggery bits, you know, that people don't like, that offend, we might get more people believing. Do you sympathize with that? There was a ex-Baptist minister called Steve Chalk. Heard of him? He wrote a book in 2006, and this is something that he said. Preaching the gospel of our forefathers is embarrassing. He said, how can we preach about an angry God sacrificing his own innocent son? We need to change this. We need to take out those offensive things taught in the gospel and tell people of God's love and freedom and human rights, and people will listen. Do you sympathize? That may sound very appealing. In fact, in Steve Chalk's church, because he still pastors a church, I'm sorry to say, it's packed to capacity on Sundays. People love his messages about God. Listen, it's possible to preach a gospel that will attract and appeal to as many people as possible. But I need to say this with God's authority, because we have it before us. It's not the apostles' gospel. Do you know what? The gospel of Christ was never meant to appeal to everyone. The gospel is there to distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And the true gospel will cause a division between sheep and goats. The true gospel will separate believers from unbelievers, and you need to know this. It's taught this way in Scripture, if you read the whole of Scripture and not just your favorite bits that are flavored with honey. Let me ask you, why did Jesus speak in parables? Why did Jesus speak in parables? Did he do it to make it easier for people to understand? Did he do it to help people to visualize and make more people get it? What if I said no? What if he preached parables specifically to separate the sheep from the goats? If you could turn with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I'll give you Christ's own words on parables. Matthew 13, 10, 11, and then 13. Matthew 13. Sorry, I'm going to find it myself here. He replies, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Now go to verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables, Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear nor understand. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. He told them the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those outside, everything will be given and said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. I want to make this clear, and it's not a popular message I know I'm preaching today. The true gospel is the great divider. It calls people out of the mass, ecclesia. It creates the church. The church is birthed by the preaching of the seed of the gospel. And we must preach it faithfully, all of it. Because the true gospel message will scandalize the world, and it always will. We can't tweak it to suit people's tastes, likes or dislikes. We can't update it to suit the era. And don't be surprised if only a few people are going to respond to faithful preaching. When Jesus preached, the greatest preacher that ever lived, the majority disbelieved him. Our job is to preach Christ crucified. And it's not a popular message. It involves blood and gore and sacrifice, threats and warnings, and hope for those who will listen. And our job is to preach and to leave the miracle of faith to God. But I appeal to you, in an age where the gospel is being altered in many churches to be more politically correct and tasteful, you're killing the power of the gospel by doing that. The gospel was never given to us to save everyone. It was given to us to call out the faithful. And we must be faithful in doing what God has promised we ought to do if we do it in his name. Jesus said something very strange whenever he preached. He'd always end his messages, well, a lot of them, like this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pretty strange thing to say. A bit redundant, isn't it? I mean, you've all got ears, haven't you? Why say something like that? There are some people who hear the shepherd's voice. And there are some who are not able to hear the shepherd's voice. And the preaching of the gospel will show who is who. Let's be faithful in preaching this gospel, the apostles' gospel. Even if we don't draw the crowds, please. God knows, and he won't fail in reaching his sheep with the message. Let's pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we will love your gospel, that we'll realize its power, that those of us who have met you will honor it, and that, Lord, we'll never be ashamed of its truth, for Christ's sake. Amen. It evolved, does it? The Jews are looking for signs and wonders, and the Greeks are looking for wisdom and philosophy. And there are many people today that want a message that's going to include everyone so no one's offended. But we must preach Christ crucified. It gives life to those who will hear. And there's no other message. Let's keep on preaching Christ. Don't be pressured by the things you're going to be pressured by in the near future. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that foolish message of the cross that saved my soul. And I praise you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. May we love the old story. Amen.